This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Steve Gerbach is a musician who lives in Manchester, but he also has a place on Beaver Island, right there between the Mitten and the UP on Lake Michigan. It's a place that he goes to in the summer, but while he was spending time up there during the pandemic, he got to talking about music, Michigan-based music especially. It turns out that his next-door neighbor on Beaver Island is also a musician, Jackson Smith. And you know what happens when people get cloistered together during a pandemic, ideas hatch. And Steve and Jackson hatched an idea to feed the souls of everyone missing their performance spaces right now. Let's take a listen to this. It's a sample of their low-watt radio show on WVBI 100.1 FM called Songs from the Trail. Their conversations and music have been making a lot of people smile during this pandemic, and we have them with us now from their places in Beaver Island. Steve, Jackson, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Can I ask you both, I mean, Steve, maybe we'll start with you and go to Jackson. Could you talk to us about maybe a music venue or a spot that you miss the most during all this?
Yeah, my own. We have a couple years ago, couple friends of mine, we started a once a month listening room in Manchester, Michigan called Manchester Underground. That was really just starting to get rolling. We had some really great acts play, Jackson being one of them, with Zachariah Malachi and the Hillbilly Executives. And then the whole pandemic came crashing down on everybody.
Jackson, what about you?
Man, well, you know, I do miss places like, again, like Steve's venue he had. A lot of the great bars that choose to have music here. You know, like normally in the summertime, I'd bring some musical acts up here to play at like the Circle M on the Island, and you know, Beaver Island, the community loves good music. So it's like if you bring a good band here, they give back. And you know, so I miss being able to play places like that, of course.
Obviously, people have been making music all during this, and some people have even been releasing music that they made in their home. But is there a kind of show that either of you feel like you're missing a lot?
As a listener, I really miss just going to more listening room type venues, those type of shows, or like the Arc is a good example, like places you go, you know, to just sit and listen to music, and you know, that doesn't have all the you know, rowdiness of the bar. But on the flip side of that, as a performer, I miss the rowdy audiences. It's like a double-edged sword, I guess.
For sure. I mean, I feel like I feel for my hardcore friends more than my folky friends right now. Well, I should ask. I mean, have you guys even been like, when we say you two have been talking, like, how have those conversations evolved? Have they been evolving face-to-face or more just like over the fence? Hey, neighbor, I'm over here at a safe distance from you and not breathing in your direction.
No, it's been quite literal. Like, we talk on the phone almost every day. And then when we do the radio show, you know, we use a technology called Clean Feed. So, you know, sounds like we're in the room together, but, you know, but breaking the fourth wall, we are not.
How did the conversation evolve from, gee, this pandemic is really horrible, to, gee, this pandemic is really horrible, and we should do a radio show?
Well, it's interesting because one of the good things about social media these days is you know, Jackson had actually posted something on one of the social media pages about WVBI, which is a small radio station here on Beaver Island. And he just posted the link to the station, and I gave him a private message, and I said, "Hey, man, you know, I've been pitching these guys to maybe do a Michigan-based, Michigan-connected show about a music show." And he, you know, Jackson gives me a thumbs up or, you know, whatever he did. And I'm like, "Dude, I'm serious." And he goes, "So am I, you know, set it up." And so we did. And it really took off pretty quick from there.
It sure did. The episode we recorded thinking it was just a demo, the guy in charge here, Dennis Winslow, was like, "Well, okay, we'll put this on the air in 2 weeks. And we were like, what? Whoa. This is kind of funny how that worked out.
Here's what I want to know is how did you guys get WVBI to run this on Saturday night at 7? That is a coveted slot for radio people.
You know, I really can't say that was the slot that was offered to us. I really can't say.
Yeah, we were expecting like, you know, 11:30 p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah. And Tuesday morning at 5 a.m.
Right. However, which is really funny because the signal on the island or doesn't really leave the island, but due to the internet, you know, WVBI.net, you can listen to our show anywhere in the world. And we actually have quite a contingent in Australia.
Yeah, got a hot spot there. We have a hot spot in New York. We actually had a crew in New York that got together last Saturday to listen to the show at a Dinosaur Barbecue in Harlem. And they flew whitefish in and made whitefish Rubens and listened to our show. And they posted a picture and sent it to us. That was just so cool.
And then we have another group down in Brazil. Actually, one of the graphic artists, Daniel Kondo from Brazil, does
all our posts.
All our posters.
So, I mean, these are people who kind of heard about it through the musical grapevine, I'm sure, but they're also, of course, attracted to the music. Could you talk a little bit about what you wanted for the playlists?
Yeah, well, our goal is threefold, really. We wanted to expose Michigan connected music, any genre. It could be the artist, it could be the songwriter, it could be the producer, maybe where it was recorded. Because there's, you know, there's just so much music out there that most people are never going to hear. So we really wanted to draw the spotlight on the Michigan scene. And then in conjunction with that, obviously the island, because we both love the island. And I think we live in the coolest, most funky state in the union, and sheds a little light on that as well.
It's also been fun because even just for us discovering new music on our own state, because, you know, I spent most of my life in the Detroit area, and I got to say the scene there can envelop itself in a bit of a bubble. And then, you know, so when we started doing this show and I started, you know, myself researching music to put on, I'm discovering all these artists in Michigan with these big followings. I'm like, how did I not hear about these people? So that's actually been kind of cool just for me personally. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jackson, who are some of the bands that have been part of your discovery process that you've brought to light on the show?
Oh, geez, you show me a few, Steve. Actually, just the last episode, Esther Rose, yeah. Who had I think she's from Columbiaville, Michigan, originally. I had not heard of her. And then another, our first episode, I believe, right out of the gate, Ryan Racine.
Great artist out of Ypsilanti, Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, and just, you know, stuff like that's been so exciting. And, you know, like Steve touched on too, we touch on, you know, bands from Michigan, songs about Michigan, even songs with Michigan backstories. We had a show with Al Sutton, who's a producer with a studio out of Royal Oak. And we went through music, not necessarily Michigan artists, but he did produce their music. So there's a Michigan connection there. And that was really cool. You know, there's little bits of Michigan all over the place. Yeah.
You know, this is kind of an expansive question, but I wanted to ask both of you if there's kind of a musical arc for what you've been listening to during the pandemic year. If there's, you know, if there's a certain kind of thing that you find yourself listening to that really has gotten you through, or things that you weren't expecting to sustain you that you have been listening to. Steve, do you have any thoughts on that?
My playlist lately is just, oh my God, just this mid-tempo, almost, I don't know, borderline depressing.
Okay, what qualifies as depressing? I need a barometer here.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's really depressing, but it's like the same tempo. It's really laid back, you know, subject matter. I have been turned on lately by a lot of artists' interpretations of famous artists. For example, I've come to a lot of Bob Dylan's music by other people's interpretations of it. You know, for example, a Michigan artist named Luke Winslow King, who did a cover of Bob Dylan's It's not dark yet.
How about you, Jackson?
It's funny. Like my life before COVID was always pretty hectic. So up until COVID, the things I listened to were usually a pretty similar playlist to 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And I just never had as much time as I wanted to discover new music. But now it's, you know, COVID's given me a lot of free time. And I find myself, like, oh, there's an R&B song I had never heard that I'm kind of digging now. Or, you know, we did a bluegrass themed episode and what was that group? Detour Bluegrass. Detour. Yeah, I love bluegrass and had no idea they were around in the state. Or, you know, then there was a rap artist from Grand Rapids that did a song, Citizen, and it's about a civic pride in the city of Grand Rapids. The artist was, I would say Caleb.
Yeah.
But it was so cool. And I would have never had time to discover all this stuff before COVID, you know. So now I'm all over the place. It's a roller coaster of a playlist.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking today to Steve Gerbach and Jackson Smith, who started a Michigan-focused radio program on Beaver Island's community radio station. It's called Songs from the Trail. You know, this is such a weird upside down time for musicians, especially those who thrive on playing shows. And I guess one of the things I kind of love about what you guys did is it's got a strong thread of DIY running through it. I mean, not everybody can start their own radio station for sure. But, you know, Jackson, you come from a family that's pretty strong in the musical DIY tradition. And Steve, I mean, it doesn't get much more DIY than opening your own music space, your own musical venue. But I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what this year has meant for the musicians that you know. I mean, are they trying to get straight jobs or attempting to eke it out on what they have or what exactly?
That's good. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't know. We have some friends, that are just, you know, Jennifer Westwood and Dylan Dunbar, a couple of the hardest working artists I feel in Detroit, they are hustling like nobody. I mean, just been going, they'll travel, you know, 600 miles between gigs just to keep it playing. And one of the things that I find really cool about our show is it seems like every week we get pinged with, you know, whether it's somebody from Australia or locally here, they're like, thank you. We've never heard this artist. We just bought their album where you downloaded their songs. And, you know, nobody's going to get, you know, I hope they get rich off it, but it's, that stuff matters to me, you know. And then hopefully when we pull out of this situation we're in with the pandemic, well, maybe they like the tour, you know, bring them down here to Brazil, bring Ryan Racine down here to, you know, Brazil or whatever, you know.
Right. Jackson, what about you? What do you see happening?
You know, it's hard to say right now because obviously, you know, like, you know, touring was my bread and butter, you know, and I, you know, when COVID hit, I had that where were you moment when I was playing with, and I play with my mother, Patti Smith. I'm sure someone wants to know that, but
you don't have to say that in a shamefaced way, by the way.
Well, no, it's a gimmick. Mom, I have my kid whining mom sound effects. Well, it's just a
mom.
Joke on the show.
Mom.
But, you know, we our last regular show we played before the pandemic really hit was in, I think it was March of last year. We played the two shows at the Fillmore in San Francisco. And then, you know, we were supposed to go to Seattle. And it was right when those first 15 or so cases were at that nursing home there. And I was like, you know, guys, this doesn't look good. Oh, well, you know, it'll be fine. Whatever. And while we're in the air, the governor out there pulled the plug on mass gatherings, and we were standing outside the hotel downtown Seattle and with the tour manager, and he's breaking the news to us. And as he's talking to us, a line of hotel employees walk out the hotel all at once. They had just laid off half their hotel staff, and I heard the bass player going, Bob, we'll be back touring in a couple of weeks. And here we are. I don't know. I've lost track. A year.
Months later.
Yeah. A year and some change later. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think shows at smaller venues will probably start happening first. But I think it's probably going to be a long time before any bands that play larger venues can do anything even remotely close to what they were doing. I mean, I know even for us, like 2019, I think we closed out our European tour. We were doing a show in A Coruña, Spain, and 67,000 people. And, you know, and then we just did our first like regular show on a stage at the City Winery with limited capacity in New York, 100 people. And jeez. And not to sound ungrateful, I was teasing my mom. I was like, now you know what my gigs are like. but I mean, and you know, like I said, we were very grateful to play this show, but the fact is it's that far off from, at least for us, getting to where we were at.
I mean, obviously everybody wants to get back on the road, and I feel like everybody's got a little different plan for what that return is going to be like. You know, there are a lot of people getting vaccinated now, which has raised a lot of hopes for summer festival season. I mean, we're all finding out where our comfort zone is for being around other people again. I wanted to ask both of you what returning to live music means to you in terms of like when and how fast. Steve, what about you?
Yeah, honestly, as far as when, I think this year, 21 is going to be a little better than last year, but still slow, I think. You know, I think maybe Q3 or Q4, we'll see some improvement. I'm hoping 2022 is going to be a lot better, but that remains to be seen. You know, the venue that I have is really tight. I mean, it's a cool space. It's in the basement of a mill along a river in Manchester, Michigan, and comfortably it seats probably about 45 people. But I think it's going to be a while before people have the comfort level to do something like that again.
Yeah. I mean, Jackson, you gave us a little taste of it, but what do you see for yourself in terms of live shows in the next year?
I mean, I can tell you as the year progresses, there's more bookings later, like in the fall and going into the winter. And those bookings are hopeful. You know, it's like we hope we're doing them, but I mean, just we're at the mercy of where the pandemic goes. But obviously, we want everyone to be healthy and safe before we're doing huge shows. When festivals are really able to go on at something resembling pre-COVID times, I think it's going to be wild. People are going to be chomping at the bit to do these things again. So, you know, it's when it's ready and it's safe, the floodgates are going to open.
Out.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, thanks in the meantime for keeping the lights on you guys with the show and everything else that you're doing. Jackson Smith and Steve Gerbach are co-hosting Songs from the Trail on station WVBI 100.1 FM on Beaver Island, but you can stream their show Saturday nights at 7 o'clock Eastern. It is so great to hear your voices. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.